We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back for another hour. And then we have the replay hour. So we're live tonight until 1 o'clock on Overnight America. I just tweeted this, and if you if you want to get in on it, you can. So this is what I tweeted. I said that I'm going to be broadcasting from my home starting tomorrow, and I need a business to sponsor my basement. Who do you think would be a good fit? So I came up with from the Lion's Choice Roast Beef Basement. Roast Beef Basement. I need to practice that a few times. But that would be a pretty good one, right? The Lion's Choice Roast Beef Basement. Love it. Now, I am a big fan of Lion's Choice, and I know it's just a St. Louis thing, but didn't they expand to Kansas City? My son, when I give him an option of where to go to lunch, he always picks Lion's Choice. And that's normally, five-year-olds normally don't pick roast beef sandwiches, right? But he can't get enough of it. And on his birthday, when he turned five, I said, you can go anywhere you want for your birthday meal. He said, I want to go to Lion's Choice. My parents were in town, so he took him and my parents. And they all loved it. So that was the first one that came to mind. The Lion's Choice Roast Beef Basement. Not currently a sponsor yet. But if you have a good idea for someone that could sponsor my basement, let me know. Because that's where I'm going to be broadcasting from for the next month. Yeah, whoever the plumber is that comes to my house, I'll ask him, hey, do you want to sponsor this basement? Yeah, we have. Yeah. Well, 314-436-7900 is the number, and we've got a couple of minutes for calls, but in about 10 minutes from now, Dr. Dean Hart's going to join us. He's an expert in microbiology. He's got so many different doctorates. It's amazing. The guy is addicted to going back to school, and he said it's kind of tough to go to school right about now. And ethics. He also looks at ethics, microbiology and ethics. It'll be interesting to see how he thinks China's handled this all. Mitt Romney, I think, has summed up where we are now when it comes to the stimulus bill. Mitt Romney has said, nothing in the Senate has shocked me until today. Standing in the way of a critically needed rescue package is irresponsible and reckless. Dems say not enough money to states. Nearly $200 billion isn't chump change. Hospitals get at least $75 billion. That's with a B, $75 billion with a B. And then you start to see some of the things that were jammed in that package that made it so it was a no deal. I don't know if you saw this too, but one of the news stories from later in the day is St. Louis City County stay-at-home orders go in effect, which is today. But the other side effect, St. Charles has been added to that too. So now you can go find this at KMOX.com and pay attention to it. But yeah, we're starting to see pretty much the whole area take this more seriously. And I got to tell you, I went out today in the morning. I needed to get some grass seed because I got this patch of dirt, and this is the right time to put some grass seed down. So I went to go pick some up. I didn't know if the store would be open, but it was. I didn't know if there'd be people inside, but there were. I didn't know if there would be a lot of people, but there was. It seemed like it was a normal flow of people for the day. Interesting. Let's go to Dave in Illinois. What's going on?
I wanted to, a little bit off subject, but on the coronavirus.
Go ahead.
Let's say you buy frozen food, and I'm talking on the package, not in it, and that virus is on it, a pizza, whatever, yeah. And you take it home and throw it in your freezer. I don't know if you can answer this. Maybe somebody can call in later or something. But is that virus, you know, like I said, so many hours, it'll be, if you touch a surface, then it'll be okay. Well, would that apply to a situation like that?
Oh, on a frozen food item, that's a good question. I really don't know. I have heard that it's... Here's the thing. When they came out with that, it was a very sensationalized story that this thing could stay on cardboard for days or whatever it is. And then some people came out and said, no. So I don't know what to believe when it comes to the way these germs could stay on certain things. The important thing is, and the microbiologist will point this out, as long as you're regularly washing your hands, the soap on that is going to break this up because it's just this virus is protein. So even if you touch things and you're worried that you might be touching something that someone infected would touch or coughed on or whatever it is, as long as you're washing your hands, you're killing that virus, whatever was transferred. So that's the important thing, I guess.
Okay. And then on the political side, in my belief, I think they're all sellouts, the Republicans and the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, there's several examples you could give, but like on these bailouts, are there's been situations where I remember in the 80s with the AIDS thing, there was a company that they were like, I guess, selling plasma or something, and they had to heat the blood or the plasma up to a certain degree to ensure that it was safe. And what happened was the CEO, because it's a tricky thing on the temperature, he lowered that a little bit so they would have more product, I guess. And some people actually got AIDS from that blood supply.
Oh, that's terrible.
And then when corporate America does things like this, if they make $1 billion on it and they go after them, the government does, well, they'll settle for $100 million. Well, you know, they made $900 million. And I have no doubt in the boardroom they talk about that kind of stuff because there's just so much corruption. And I think the only – and with the – I heard – I don't know if it's Jimmy Carter might say one time – that like in the 70s, the lobbyists in Congress, you could be, or in the House, you could be in the House and just regular Joe, maybe seeing somebody. And if you rubbed them wrong, they could have you escorted out. They had that much power there. That now they still do, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. They just ain't, as up front like they were before. And things like NAFTA and CAFTA, you know, that they always, oh, we're going to get, you know, going to make jobs and all that. Well, you know, this don't turn out to be. Now, I think people like their specific representative because he got us our bridge or he did that. Mm-hmm. But then behind the scenes, everything else, they're selling you out on fees or go from the bank, do whatever they want and get bailed out, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's no, they're too big to prosecute or, you know, they're too big. What was the other thing with the...
too big to fail?
To prosecute. Huh?
Too big to fail.
Too big to fail. Yeah, or too big to prosecute because it's too complex to investigate something. I think it was the banks or something like that. Mm. I think the solution now. I'm still a registered Democrat, but I'm really not, and I'm not really Republican either. I didn't like Obama. I just thought he was a slick talker, so I voted third party because I hated McCain worse.
Okay.
And all I heard for 8 years was birther, birther, birther. Now if our government agencies, whoever, I don't know which agency investigates that, but they got all the resources. They can't figure out in a day at the most or 10 minutes whether this guy's got citizenship or not. And if they could prove it, then they'd probably get him out. Okay, fast forward. Now we got the Democrats in power. And what do? Oh, Trump's, oh, he's corrupt, and he's done this, and he's done that, with no proof whatsoever. And this is going to go on, and I think he will get reelected the next 4 years. That's all you're going to hear.
Yeah. All right, David.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Okay, all right, thanks.
All right, David got a lot to unload there. I understand. Yeah, I totally get that. So a few things that he said there, I don't know if I have to respond to him. We're just going to let him have his piece. And sometimes that's what the overnights are for. That's what night's time is for. You get to say your piece. And, hey, if you don't have anyone else to talk to because you're self-quarantining or whatever it is, then this is the show for you. And I said this real quick at the start when it comes to St. Charles. It's St. Charles County that starts tomorrow, the stay-at-home order. I said St. Charles. I meant St. Charles County, just in case there's a distinction between the two. Eddie, what's going on?
Thank you for taking my call, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Go ahead.
Just wanted to say there's been a lot of changes going on here in Philly. Now we're under a curfew, an 8 o'clock p.m. curfew. Can't leave our homes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the mayor Kenny's been getting really strict.
That's
closing a lot of bars and restaurants down here, and it's like a ghost town.
Yeah, I didn't realize 8 o'clock. Normally, it's just a straight out no business other than something that's essential, but they're just trying to cut it out so it's 8 o'clock and is the cutoff time?
Yes, it's being strictly enforced unless it's a first responder or you're in a food service business or something that you can go out to work if you work at nighttime.
But interesting.
Other than that, they want you in your house.
Yeah, I wonder. I always wondered if I was going to get stopped, but when I left the radio station last night, there were still people on the roads driving around. No, it seemed like a normal traffic flow, but then again, there's not many people out at 2 a.m. anyway. I'm wondering what it's going to be like tonight, and I always wondered if someone was going to stop me. I guess I'll have to report back if that ever happens.
Is there a curfew in St. Louis?
No, there's not. And really, the restrictions that they're saying stay at home, it's not a hard stay at home. It's a pretty soft stay at home order, and they haven't escalated it past then.
The reason they did it here is they were telling people voluntarily to stay in their homes, but when the weather was real nice the last couple of days, people were in parks and just gathering at restaurants, and people were getting really close.
Oh, yeah.
And
there was that.
They weren't in heeding to that 6 feet space. And that's when the mayor came on this morning and said, that's it. There's going to be a curfew as of 8 o'clock.
When people aren't treating it responsibly, I guess that's what they do.
They're not taking it seriously.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Eddie. Good to hear from you.
Have a good night.
And I feel like most people are taking it responsibly. I feel like they're doing what they need to do. They're doing what they're being asked to do. Wash the hands, keep the distance, all of these things. I think they're doing it. Yeah. All right, we're going to take some more of your calls if we have some at 314-436-7900. We still have our guest this hour, Dr. Dean Hart. We're going to get to an expert in microbiology. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons, on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
At this pace, I'm not going to have time to play any of the other parody songs that are out there. There are some really good ones. Let's see. What were the other ones there? At this point, I don't know if I have time. I'd rather talk to you. At 314-436-7900. And Mike from Wright City, welcome to Overnight America.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Good.
I was telling the screener, I find it interesting that we're not getting better coordination throughout the state. So, like, City of St. Louis and St. Louis County, they did their stay in place. Now, a couple of days later, St. Charles is coming up with it. I was kind of disappointed that we just didn't do it in unity, because if we don't do it all in unity, don't it kind of defeat the purpose?
You know, that's a great question. I would love to ask Mayor Crewson if they reached out to St. Charles County to ask if they wanted to be involved, because the city and the county did it, joint press release. I wonder if they reached out to them and they declined. That's a good question. That could have happened.
Well, I mean, we're trying to do the best we can in our world, you know, my household. But like I said, you know, if we don't all do it in unison, I don't feel like it's going to get done.
Maybe St. Charles County wanted to wait a little bit longer because they're not seeing the same things that are happening in the city and county right now. Because what was the number there? Do they have like 1 or 2 cases, something like that? It's a pretty low number.
Yeah, well, but the ideal is to keep it from spreading.
Yeah.
So you're going to wait till we get it and then shut us down? I don't know. You know what I said. No disrespect to anybody. I'm trying to be positive, but I just like to see the whole country come together, but at least the state of Missouri.
Yeah, I get that. Hey, thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you.
All right, buddy.
All right, bye. Yeah, that's a great question. Charlie Brennan, if you're listening, I don't know if he is, but if he is listening, I know that he has Mayor Crewson on a couple of times already based on some of the announcements with the city. That would be a great question to ask Mayor Crewson. Did they reach out to St. Charles County to see if they wanted to be involved in this coordinated effort like the city, St. Louis City and St. Louis County did? Let me go to Jim. Welcome to Overnight America.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
If he was smart enough, which I don't think he is, he should separate the hospitals from all the other bills that the Democrats have initiated.
I think the direct funding that would go to them is different from the other funding. So they are putting different earmarks in for certain things. How would you say a different bill would be necessary for that? What do you mean by that?
Well, I would say just separate it. Say we vote on for hospitals and any health organizations and drop all the other garbage.
I see. So when they did the different phases, have a special one just for hospitals.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I guess they could do something like that as opposed to putting it all together. I guess procedurally speaking, I guess they're trying to get it all done as fast as they can. So they're trying to do it all at once.
Maybe
they didn't anticipate that there would be people that would try to block funding for hospitals to begin with, that they would even see that as necessary.
Well, I know that the politicians, both sides, put in all the extra garbage that they want to add. Mm-hmm. Something that's not totally related to it, just to make it fly.
Mm.
But you know, I don't think it's the way to handle this one as far as the health end of it.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks, Jim. Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
So we found that here in the city, by the way, there has been the very first death. The very first coronavirus death was a woman in her 30s. No underlying health problems is what they say. And we do know the identity now. KMOV put it up on their website, and they were reporting on it. Relatives say she had no underlying issues. She graduated from Jennings High School, attended Harris Stowe State University, worked for the Red Cross. Dr. Frederick Eccles in a press conference from earlier today, if you missed it.
We stand here with heavy hearts because COVID-19 has caused a death in the city of St. Louis. As we all know, there's been rumors and myths circulating in the community. One of those myths is that young people can't get it. So this case is evidence that young people can get it and that it can cause death. And so the measures that we continue to recommend every day, staying at home if you're ill, covering your mouth if you cough, washing your hands with soap and water regularly, are really important, and they should be adhered to, not only to protect yourself, but to protect your families, your friends, and the community at large. The individual was in their 30s. Again, someone that's very young, and which is cause for concern for us, especially if individuals are not adhering to the guidelines and the recommendations that have been issued before. So again, we urge everyone in the city of St. Louis, everyone in the St. Louis region, to really adhere to those social distancing and preventive measures recommendations that we continue to issue day in and day out, because this is a serious matter and no one is exempt from getting COVID-19. Anyone that's exposed can become infected. So we're asking you to protect yourself, again, not only for yourself, but for your families, your friends, and for the community at large.
That is the message from Dr. Fred Eccles here in the city of St. Louis, the first registered death from the coronavirus. In a moment, we're going to talk to a microbiologist, Dr. Dean Hart, and we'll look at this thing from that level. What are some of his impressions that you've seen so far? This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Washing hands, reaching out, don't touch me.
This is actually Neil Diamond singing his song Sweet Caroline with a little twist for today.
Sweet Caroline. Caroline. Good times never seem so good. I've been inclined,
don't touch me,
to believe they never would, but now I...
Not bad. Even these musicians, these ones that I'm sure make plenty of money that don't have to entertain anyone, still out of boredom, going out there and entertaining people. Can you really blame them at this point? Welcome back to Overnight America. And joining us now is an assistant professor at the Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons, also an author, well-known, Dr. Dean Hart. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Oh, thanks for having me there.
As an expert in microbiology, when did this coronavirus, when it was festering up in China, start to get on your radar?
Well, got to say, I wasn't paying much attention. Was in Wuhan,
yeah.
And the Chinese are not very forthcoming with the information anyway. The data we're getting from there, it's kind of suspicious, their data. I see that they haven't got another case for a week now or something.
Well, that's what they say, at least.
I don't believe the data one bit.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about this at least from a microbiology level. So is it even possible to go from tens of thousands of infections one day to nothing the next day?
It doesn't make much sense to me, the pattern in China.
Okay, so but some people are looking at this and they're saying, well, maybe this gives us a little optimism that we can at least see an end in sight here in the United States. We look at where, you know, Wuhan and the surrounding area, if that was the ground zero in the country of China that suffered for so long, at least found a way to control this sort of thing. I'm curious what you think the outlook for the United States is when it comes to the spread of the coronavirus.
Well, if you compare it to China, I study bioethics now. I actually went back for another graduate degree. Mm-hmm. Bioethically, what they did in China, it would never be tolerated in the United States. They are a totalitarian dictatorship to me, mm-hmm. the way they treat the people compared with the United States. We believe in autonomy and freedom. So what they did there, even if it worked, which I'm not sure it has, because there's a bit of information that we're not getting. So the problem is, even if they could shut it down there, which I have my doubts, would it be applicable to the U.S.? How in the world you'd lock people up just because they may be sick? It's not the American way.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we've seen in some major cities. Like you said, you're in New York, and they're going through some pretty extreme lengths to try to squash the spread of this thing, because you have seen an increased amount of cases and an increased amount of deaths. Same with some of the other coastal cities over on the West Coast, the San Franciscos, the Washingtons of the world, and Seattle's. So you see that this thing has taken major areas just by storm, and the United States has to respond to something like that. So I'm wondering, because you said the first thing when we hooked up on the phone, how's St. Louis doing? And I said, we have a relatively low amount of cases. And you said, for the moment. So you look at areas like us that doesn't have the same trends as in New York City, but you look at least for the moment, things are calm here. So do you think things this week, like they're anticipating, is going to pick up?
Oh, I think the data is beginning to develop to show this to be maybe three times more contagious than the flu. The mortality is between 5 and 40 times more deadly than the flu. So, yeah, if you look at the pattern and you look at this map, Johns Hopkins does this mapping of everything, and it's just spreading across the country. What happened is that visitors from China came to New York and the coast because that's the popular place Chinese would come, and that's where the shipping goes in and out. So it's very common for them to be in this area, and then it just will spread across. It already is spreading across the country.
Yeah. Well, as it spreads and we're trying to track this thing, we saw in the press conference earlier today with President Trump showing a little optimism that we may get out of this earlier than later. You know, some estimates said end of summer. They're looking at July, August in some cases. And then there was a report in the Los Angeles Times, I don't know if you saw that one, where they were talking about this thing may go away quicker than anyone is guessing or anticipating right now. So do you have a idea or do you have any opinion of your own of when we could see a control on this thing?
Well, we know when we look at the public health data, there's such a paucity of data to make decisions and estimates that is driving all epidemiologists crazy. A lot of the teachers I have in bioethics that are younger than me, I might add, they're going crazy. They want data, and there's just no data to plug into the formulas that they use so readily. They're ready to go plunking the data in, but let's face it, if you got 70 cases and I think one death in St. Louis, how are you going to study mortality with one death in a whole state or count or town or however they say? So it's like impossible to really, you can guess till the cows come home, but that's not going to have any validity. You can get, I saw the president talk about Plaquenil and zithromycin. And then you got this scientist, Tauschi, Dr. Tauschi, comes up and says, well, anecdotally, that means there's no data. When we say anecdotally, it means somebody said this and passed on the information. It doesn't mean anything until you get real hard scientific facts. And because this is outside of New York State, basically New York City and Long Island and Westchester, outside of there and outside a few other states, central areas of Washington and California, there's no data to crunch, and using the Chinese data is no way to go.
Yeah.
So we need information.
Your website, by the way, DeanHartScientist.com, and I was looking up top, how many medical degrees do you have?
How many degrees?
Yeah, how many degrees do you have? It says Dean Hart, ODMABSAASFAAO. Some of those I don't recognize.
Yeah, there's a few more. I was a postgraduate research scientist at the University of California, Berkeley, studying bacteriology and virology into the eye. It's fun to learn. Unfortunately, with the coronavirus, we can't learn what we need to learn so quickly because, luckily, the incidence in the population in this country is low. It really has this huge contagious pattern that we worry so hard, so much about, on the one hand. But on the other hand, isn't that 43,000 cases have been confirmed in the United States, I believe, at this point. That seems like a lot, but in a nation of 350 million, it's not very many yet. But because of the pattern, you got to worry about
the
pattern that you can see.
Yeah,
it's spreading like wildfire.
You're right about the spreading, and considering that testing has been prioritized to those that would be considered high risk or most likely to have it, and those are the only people you're testing right now, and even then you're not seeing all of them coming back as having the coronavirus. To me, that's a little bit encouraging if you take the ones that most likely have it and test it, and it's only like, I don't know, is it maybe a fifth of those that test end up actually having it? So that's actually, I think, not too bad, at least if you're trying to find a bright side for it. And I'm wondering, too, people keep using this term once in a lifetime. Is this really a once in a lifetime type of pandemic?
Well, if you were around during the polio days with FDR, I suppose you've seen some kind of pandemic of sorts, because I believe that was, it occurs all over the world. I think since the pharaohs of Egypt, they had the polio. So 1918, there's some similarity, but it's very different because we're much more globalized and things travel on airplanes. So it's different, yet there's some analogous cases or situations. Even the swine flu was something we were worried about, but nobody learned any lessons from the swine flu. Yeah. But they were talking about ventilators and masks back then, too. Fortunately, when you look at it, we're stronger than the virus in the sense that it has a lipid coating, it's protein, and soap and water will kill the bug. also alcohol will melt and denature the proteins and the lipids. So we can kill this thing, and that's a good thing. The biggest problem we have is gearing up for this population to be tested, especially in New York. My wife had a cough, so I said, go get tested. You got to meet certain criteria to get tested. You have to have a fever. And why? Because there's not enough tests around. Mm-hmm. Once we get the tests in mass quantities, which seems around the corner, supposedly there's a 45-minute test. Once we can test everybody all the time, I think we will beat the virus. Until then, when we isolate ourselves and stay very clean and calm, the virus won't get us.
Dr. Dean Hart is an expert in microbiology, a published author. He's been on all the major television news shows. You can look him up online at deanhartscientist.com. We're going to continue our conversation with him next, talking the coronavirus on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
He's an expert in microbiology and pretty much everything else well studied. Dr. Dean Hart, an assistant professor at the Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. He's online at deanhartscientist.com. You think social distancing is the new future when it comes to stopping the spread of anything?
Well, it's the only thing we can do because the tests aren't readily available yet. So social distancing is a stopgap measure that we've known about. Public health, you don't even need public health. Obviously, if there's nobody near you or everybody that's near you hasn't been sick for 2 weeks, the chances of getting sick yourself, if you're not next to somebody that can contaminate you, is very slim to get sick. So social distancing logically works, but it has such undesirable side effects. One of the classes I'm taking is in social work, and social workers preach socialization as the greatest way to productively age. Socializing with your fellow human being keeps you mentally stable. To socially isolate is the opposite of good mental health. So do I want to live more than being socially interactive? Yes. So we got to do the social distancing, but it has, like I said, unintended consequences that are horrible. And until we get a vaccine, we're going to have problems. Once we get the tests out, we're going to start to resolve these problems.
Yeah, I also want to talk to you about something else, because people were asking me about immunity. So two parts to this question. If there was someone that were to contract this, or maybe someone that has contracted this didn't know it, they just kind of chalked it up for being the flu, because, you know, honestly, we kind of a little bit late to the game, considering this thing was active in China, going back to August of last year or October or something like that. And then, so let's say that people have had this or currently have had this. The recovery rate's still very good for those that are younger and healthy. Do they build up an immunity to this in the future? And what about the mutation of it? So does that cause another issue where there could be another round of this stuff going around?
Well, of course, virus and bacteria will mutate. Bacteria are famous for being antibiotic-resistant strains as they mutate, as they're treated. That's common in bacteria. In virus, mutation can occur also. The immunity of a person, if we look at the flu bug, I believe that lasts a year, and then the next year you need your flu shot. But it does pretty much take care of the whole season once, if you do get it, whether you've gotten the shot or not, you can get it. And we're not sure if you can even there's reports, more anecdotal, that we're not very comfortable as scientists. There are reports people get recontaminated. But it's pretty much most scientists believe that they just weren't cured yet and they didn't get recontaminated. And we believe, from everything we know as scientists, that you will build up an immunity within your body. Specifically, how long it lasts? Now, there's a darn good question, because you give a shot for measles, rubella, and mumps, it may last close to a lifetime. It sometimes wears out 20, 30 years, but you can build up an immunity that could last 20 or 30 years, or just one season, or in this case, we just are not positive even lasts through the pandemic. Will the immunity, let's say you get it, you get better, are you immune for a good year as this thing runs its course? We're not sure, but the pattern for viral immunity does indicate we have the hope that we should be get it once only for a year or something like that. That's logic, but not the science.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is quite a time. Do you find moments like this in American history where we're all talking about it, something like, oh, wow, it's almost like everyone's talking your language. It's like you wake up and you look around and people are interested in the same things you're interested in. There's got to be at least some sort of a plus side to this as someone that studies it.
Yes, somebody wants to hear science idly. Usually the eyes glaze over. Bacteria, yeah, I had a fungus. No, that was a mold. Or what's a virus? And what's a prion? Yeah, now everybody's curious.
I love this. All right, so if people wanted to look you up online, I mean, you've done all kinds of different interviews. You've wrote all kinds of different articles. But, I mean, your work is out there. Where can people find you?
Well, DeanHartScientist.com works. Some of my interviews are on there. But the best place, the CDC, is keeping up to date with much more resources than I. And Johns Hopkins has an excellent site. Unfortunately, it's so excellent, you can see this spread across the country in such a pattern. From one day to the next, the numbers change so dramatically every day. It's a pandemic. You can see the map.
Yeah. All right. DeanHartScientist.com. All kinds of different maps out there. People can look you up online if they do a quick search for Dr. Dean Hart. Thank you so much for coming on with us tonight on KMOX.
Well, good speaking with you.
He joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line with people in social isolation at their homes. They're getting creative. They're coming up with some parody songs of their own to talk a little bit about the experiences they're going through. I think they got some pretty talented people out there. How about this one? I played this one earlier and it made someone upset. But the way that home studios are, people have the ability to do some pretty awesome things when before you would need, a million-dollar facility, and now they can do this in their basement. Inside. Not bad. Wow, that's pretty good. Pretty good. Let's see. How about this one? A cappella here. I think this is it. Yeah.
Whoa. We've been quarantined.
Not bad. It looked like teenagers sitting around the table singing that sort of thing. And we play this. Man, this was so good. Neil Diamond even redoing one of his songs.
Hands, washing hands, reaching out. Don't touch me. I won't touch you. Caroline, good times never seem so good.
So good, so good.
I've been inclined to believe they never would, but now I look at them like.
All right, a lot of people getting a little stir crazy, it sounds like, in quarantine. It's not really quarantine, but as they separate themselves from the rest of the world in order to try to get this virus under wraps. I'm going to be doing the same thing tomorrow. So everyone here at KMOX getting the orders from the boss to find ways to broadcast from home, and that's exactly what I'm going to try to do. Hopefully, by this time tomorrow, we'll be talking to each other, and I'll be in the comfort of my own studio at home in my pajamas. I'm not going to be dressing up. Don't get me wrong. I can, and I have the ability, and I know that some people say you should just to try to keep things somewhat normal, but I will not be doing that. I hope that we get to spend this time, and everything should be the same. We should still take phone calls, and I'll still be able to play audio and do all of this stuff. You can still reach me the same way, at Ryan Recker. I'll have the texting up at my house so I can see the text messages that come up as well. But you know what? Let's have fun tomorrow. Let's experiment and see how it sounds. I need your report. I need you to tell me if it sounds good, and you know, if not, we can tweak it a little bit. But I think the home studio is going to work out just fine. Next hour, we're going to replay the 10 o'clock hour, and we're going to look back to about the fussing and the feuding that's been going on. So, hey, stick around. Don't go anywhere. If you missed it, or you can go online and get it right now if you go to KMOX.com/ONA. We'll see you tomorrow night after Cardinals baseball. Oh, it feels good to say that. KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.